Well, now I'm very pleased to welcome back David Dunford. And the last time you were here, David, you just published your first book detailing the history of horse racing in Chelmsford. So you must have been bitten by the writing bug and have come up now with a new book. So you've got to tell us how you got the idea for this one and what it's all about.
Well, while researching the last book, I happened to come across an advert in the Essex Chronicle for Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show in Chelmsford. Which visited in 1904. Well, I was intrigued. I'd heard of Buffalo Bill, like everybody, of course, but I thought he was a bit like Elvis and never left America.
No, I didn't think he had either. Can we just get you a bit closer into that mic there? That's better. Yeah.
Right. So I started doing some research. Found out he actually came to Britain four times in all. The first time for Queen Victoria's Jubilee in 1887, and then for the last time in 1904.
So what's the connection with Essex, assuming there is one, of course? Well, I'm sure there must be, otherwise you wouldn't have written your book.
Indeed. Well, on the first two visits, the show played fixed seasons in big cities, like London, Birmingham and Manchester. In the mid-1990s, it was in financial trouble, and the famous circus owner, James Bailey of Barnum and Bailey fame, stepped in to bail it out. And he introduced the show, the idea of the show, travelling from town to town, just like a circus, performing just one day in each place. And so it was as a result of that, in 1903, the show came to Leighton, which at that time was still part of the County of Essex.
Of course it was, yeah.
At that time it also came to Southend and Colchester. And then in 1904, it came back again. And this time, it visited Chelmsford and Ilford, also still in Essex at that time.
So you say it moved around like a circus, but it wasn't really a circus, was it?
Oh, no, definitely not. And that's why I called the book Buffalo Bill's Wild West the first reality show in Essex, because the people taking part weren't actors at all. The show depicted many scenes from life in the Wild West, and the people taking part had actually been there. So the cowboys were real cowboys, the Indians real Indians, and the soldiers had all been real soldiers. So it was all based on Buffalo Bill's desire to recreate the excitement of the Wild West for people in those days who could never actually hope to see the real thing. So in effect, it was the first reality show.
Now, it seems pretty strange that he would have come to Essex. So how did this come about, and who was Buffalo Bill in reality?
Well, Buffalo Bill, or William Frederick Cody, to give him his full name, he was born in 1846 in Ireland. His father died when he was 11, so he had to go out to work.
He's a very young father at 11.
Buffalo
Sorry.
Bill's father.
Sorry.
When he was 11. So he had to go out to work to support the family.
Yeah.
He got occasional jobs herding cattle and working on wagon trains taking settlers west. And he was said to have killed an Indian at this point during when he was still before his teens.
Right.
So that was the start of him building a reputation in the Wild West. On another trip, he met the famous scout Kit Carson, who you might have heard of.
And absolutely.
He taught him to speak the Sioux Indian language. Bill then got a job as a Pony Express rider, and he was still only 14 then.
Unbelievable.
During the Civil War in the early 1860s, he became a cavalry scout. Then he got a job supplying meat to the railroad builders who were steadily moving west at that time. And this was where he made his name as a buffalo killer. And in 17 months, he's said to have killed more than 4,000 buffalo. And he was known ever after as Buffalo Bill.
Do you know, I didn't realise he'd gone around killing buffaloes, and that was how he got his name.
Yes.
Never realised that.
Yeah, that was how he earned his nickname. Then he began leading groups of the rich and famous on buffalo hunts. And this gave him access to the upper levels of society in America. And on a trip to New York, he met a dime novelist called Ned Buntline. I don't know if you've heard of the Buntline special. It was a gun he's said to have designed.
Oh, right.
As it happened, Buntline was looking for someone new to write about. And bingo, Buffalo Bill was just the man. And almost overnight, Buntline made Buffalo Bill famous with a story in a New York newspaper called Buffalo Bill, King of the Border Men.
So that was it. So it was actually just a dime story at that time.
It was just a story, and yeah, it just caught on.
Yeah.
A few years later, in 1872, one of Buntline's Buffalo Bill stories, he'd written several by this time, was adapted for the New York stage as a play. And Bill went to see it, and it seems to have been sort of a light bulb moment for him. He's seeing someone else on stage playing him, and he thought, hang on, if an actor can make money playing me, why can't I make money playing myself?
Absolutely right, you've got it there.
But in truth, he actually wasn't a very good actor. But he became involved in the world of show business, and through that he developed this idea of moving beyond a mere Western stage show. He wanted to recreate the excitement of the real thing. He wanted real cowboys, real Indians, to recreate the battles of the Old West, to demonstrate their skill, bronco riding, sharpshooting, horse races, all this sort of thing. And eventually, in the early 1880s, he did manage to put together a show.
So how did it come about that it came to England?
Well, while the show was appearing in New York, it was seen by the leading English actor of the day, Henry Irving, mm-hmm, who was appearing in a play on Broadway at that time. He persuaded Bill to bring the show across the Atlantic. And so in 1887, the Wild West came to Britain for a season at Earl's Court in London as part of a big American exhibition.
So now this was obviously, from what you've said, a huge show. So transporting it couldn't have been any mean feast. It must have been a nightmare.
It was. It was a massive undertaking. They had to charter a 5,000-ton steamship to bring it across the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And this accommodated a cast of 200, including cowboys, Indians, and the cavalry men. Annie Oakley was performing as a sharpshooter with the show at that time.
Incredible.
And she came too. And as you say, it was a massive undertaking. The animals alone included 176 horses, 12 mules, a couple of deer, some 8 wild Texas steers, and 16 genuine buffaloes. The show, it has to be said, was a huge success. The Prince of Wales saw it twice. And there was even a private performance for Queen Victoria, and it was said to be the first time that Queen Victoria had been to a show since the death of Prince Albert 30-odd years before.
Now, you mentioned it came to Earl's Court, but in fact they built Earl's Court specially for the show, didn't they?
They didn't build it.
Near.
They cleared an area next to Earl's Court specially for the show. It was a junkyard and a refuse tip, and that was all cleared, and that was where the show was set up. And it was convenient because 3 railway lines terminated in that area, and it was easy for people to get to it.
So where does Essex fit into all of this?
Well, as I say, the show originally came in 1887. It came back in 1887. It came originally.
1887, right.
It came back again in 1892.
Yeah.
But again, it didn't tour, and again played fixed seasons in big cities. But then, as I said earlier, James Bailey got involved, and the show started travelling daily from town to town. And by the time it got to Essex in 1903 originally, it had no less than 800 staff and performers. And this is unbelievable. There was a travelling arena which could accommodate more than 12,000 spectators.
How on earth did they put it up?
It was a massive undertaking. Yeah. And apparently the whole thing ran like clockwork. There are newspaper reports of it all came off the train in a certain order, and it was all put up in a certain order, and it could be put up within a few hours. It was extraordinary.
And they had special trains to transport it, obviously.
Yes, yeah. There were 3 special trains which would travel overnight around the country. So it was a really grueling schedule. And by the time it got to Essex, it had also added a number of circus sideshows as well. But at its heart, it still remained a Wild West show.
Now, I'm guessing from what you said earlier that the first show in Essex was at Leighton.
That's right, yes. That was in Leighton in September the 2nd, 1903. Mm. They pitched up in Leighton. There was huge excitement, and the local paper said it was probably the largest audience ever seen for a show in the town. From there, the next day, it moved on overnight to Marine Park in Southend. Mm. And there, the sight of cowboys and Indians in full war paint wandering the streets, it caused a massive stir.
Hardly surprising, I'd say.
In fact, the grounds in Southend opened at 11 o'clock in the morning. Uh-huh. And visitors were able to look at the Indian teepees and view their inhabitants and watch the Indians walking around the town, around the grounds in their native dress. And the ticket office was absolutely besieged. Ticket office was a wagon, and I've seen pictures of it. There was an uh-huh. enormous wagon, painted deep yellow, large decorated wheels and hatches for selling tickets. And in admission prices in those days ranged from 1 shilling to 7 and 6. And that sounds quite cheap, but a shilling in those days mm. was worth £5. And 7 and 6 was more than £35. So it wasn't a cheap entertainment, because if you take into account the average weekly wage for a farm labourer at that time was around 15 shillings, about £75 today. So a top of the range ticket was half a weekly wage for a
Absolutely.
Farm labourer. Even so, despite that, it all did good business. Before the main arena opened, the sideshows also did good business. An entrance to these was just sixpence. So that was quite reasonable. From Southend, the show then moved again overnight to Colchester, and here there were huge crowds, were fascinated to watch a group of Indians walking up North Hill on the way to the showground from the station.
You can't imagine it even today, can you?
You can't. That was 1903. The tour finished at the end of the summer, but they came back again in 1904 in the spring, and the following year, the show came to Chelmsford and Ilford, and again it was very successful. The Great Eastern Railway put on extra trains, and cheap return fares were offered from around the county.
And what was the show itself like?
Well, there was a lot of shooting, it has to be said. Indians attacked a stagecoach before being driven off by Buffalo Bill and a group of cowboys. In 1904, the 1904 show, there was a recreation of the Battle of the Little Bighorn and Custer's Last Stand. Some of it was like a rodeo with bronco riding and lassoing. The 1904 show also featured somebody called Carter the Cowboy Cyclist, which, unlikely as it sounds, he would ride a bike at high speed down a huge ramp, jump across a 40-foot gap, firing his pistol as he went. A fascinating sight. There were also displays by cavalrymen from various countries of the world and so on. It was a fantastic show.
Now, clearly the costs and scale of the operation involved must have contributed to the decision not to return to the UK again. But did the shows continue in the US?
Yes, they did. But it all, I'm afraid, came to rather a sad end. In 1906, James Bailey, who helped bail out the show 10 years earlier, had died. The show was then amalgamated with one run by an old friend of Buffalo Bill, and he was called Pawnee Bill Lilly because he was relationship with Pawnee Indians, I think.
Oh, right.
Initially, they were very successful, but eventually they started to lose money as well. Buffalo Bill, it has to be said, was a brilliant showman, but he was a hopeless businessman, and he was always getting involved in schemes which lost him money. And the show got into debt, and eventually it went bust in 1913. But because he was short of money, he was forced to keep touring, and he joined in with other shows and kept touring America. Eventually, he was too ill to ride a horse, and he was driven round the arena in a buggy. And he finally took to wearing a wig to maintain the illusion of youth. It was rather sad, really.
Very sad.
He eventually died in January 1917, and he was only 70 when he died.
Now, I have to say that this new book of yours is an incredibly interesting and fact-filled read, especially for Essex history aficionados. So you've got to give us the title and details of where it can be bought.
Right. It's called Buffalo Bill's Wild West, the first reality show in Essex. It's published by Essex 100 Publications, and it's £7.99.
And where can you get it?
You can get it through bookshops or online.